Welcome to the Doghouse on NTNRadio.com and also on Patreon. That is patreon.com/NTN.
It's been a long time since you got to bring the show in.
That is a long time, yeah.
A long time. You did it like a pro. You hit that like a pro.
Hey, it's ingrained.
You hit
years of doing it.
You hit it like a wrecking ball.
Yeah, and who's not here today?
Well, Warren's serving his 3-month suspension, 3-week suspension.
So, but we have a guest in the studio.
We brought a replacement in.
We did.
Somebody that knows.
So the level of the show's already gone up by at least 20%.
No, I've got to say, too, I listen to your guys' show all the time, and I have to say, being here is, like, really disappointing.
I bet it is.
He's like, we feel the same way. He was all like, yeah. I want to go to the studio, and then he got here. He's like, when are we going to the studio? I was like, we're here. He's like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, so how many other people have pooped in the corner? I was like, at least three.
Yes.
Welcome, Chris, to the show.
Thanks.
And I don't know. Chris is a longtime listener, first-time caller.
I tell him that I listen to all the shows, but I catch like every fifth or sixth. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
We know.
If you time it right, it's worth listening to.
But that's what you get. That's what you get for leading the Doghouse World Superbike NTN MotoGP pool.
Yeah, actually being in studios, I will warn you, is probably going to knock you down at least 3 positions.
It's so contagious, isn't it?
You will actually get dumber during the show. Yeah. The intelligence level will just kill you. We have some stuff to talk to, a lot of like weird little news stuff. First, we didn't really talk much. Well, we didn't talk at all last week about the passing of William Dunlop.
We didn't. I think we mentioned it.
We mentioned it, but it was like kind of quick in passing. But, you know, I kind of like held off a little bit on that because Chris is a huge Irish Road Racing Series fan. He's been to some of the races over there. He's been to the Isle of Man TT and some of that other stuff. And I was just kind of wondering, you know, what you think the impact's going to be over there. That's such a big loss in the Irish Road Racing Series.
Yeah, well,
like a hero.
Well, he definitely is. The truth is, it's going to bring out all the guys and people who start ranting again about how it's too dangerous and they need to stop it. And then there's the army of us who reply and say, oh, shut up, go away. You don't know what you're talking about. They're big boys. You know, the unique thing, sadly enough, about this is William is one of the most experienced and accomplished riders, and we're starting to see that kind of guy having these accidents, which is new.
Scary, right?
It's
right?
Very scary. And without getting too morose about it, just over at Scary's, in the past week, we've lost James Cowton, who's another one of those guys, and Ivan Linton's in critical condition. So, you know, it's almost like they've found the limits on the bikes and the tracks, and there's just, like, they want to go beyond it, but...
But there's no beyond.
No, so...
Yeah.
But, you know, they'll carry on. These guys do this because they love it, and we watch it because we love it. So
yeah, I mean, it's a huge sport over there. It's really cool. I watch, and I know Ken watches the Isle of Man TT when it's on TV here.
Like yeah, I usually watch the Isle of Man in the Northwest 200.
Yeah.
But I was kind of curious, you know, what can they do about it at this point, right? I mean, the way they dealt with it, you know, they first thing to figure out, well, is the limitation of the tires that's causing these problems? Is it just literally the fact there's no tire that's going to help the situation with the amount of horsepower they're putting down right now? Is it the road surface? Is it some combination of all the above? Well, are they going to be able to figure out a way? Because, you know, all those same things happened in four-wheel racing, and they found ways to make it safer without losing the speed, right? Are they going to be able to do that
the road racing? That's the road racing series now, and it was Grand Prix,
right?
And now it's real road racing and road racing. Mm-hmm. And no, it's the hazards of the track. These guys know it. You can't change it. Matter of fact, they wouldn't want you to change it if you talk to any of them. That's why they do it, because it's a special character that rides those those tracks. And no, I don't think there's anything they can do to fix anything, honestly.
I didn't know if there was an improvement in, you know, tire compound or...
You know, a guy's always going to push it, right? A guy's always going to push it, and there's the line. And the difference is when, and we'll just use Mark Marquez as an example. When Mark Marquez goes past the line, he's in a sand barrier.
Exactly.
And he's got 800 feet of slide room to kind of catch himself and stuff like that. These guys, when they cross that line, it's a concrete wall 6 feet away.
Yep.
Yeah, and yeah.
Or a tree.
Or a cliff.
Or a house.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's scary, but it's also incredibly awesome to watch, right?
Or when they get the old two-strokes out, you can smell that castor oil burning when they go by, and there's nothing like it. Right. And so you're like 2 feet away from somebody going 190 miles an hour on a bike.
And there's only a hay bale between you. And maybe
a
rock wall.
Nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah. You know. So it's not only dangerous to the riders. It's dangerous to the spectators.
Oh yeah, it definitely can be. Yeah.
You know. So the Dunlop family is famous in that series. They're famous motorcycle racers, and they've endured an incredible amount of tragedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They.
You know,
have.
If you've ever seen, if you're not familiar with the Dunlops, there was a good documentary narrated by Liam Neeson called Road.
Yep.
And it talks about their lives and their family, and it's a great documentary, but it's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's rough. And William's actually one of the guys they feature towards the end of it.
Right.
And this to happen is just kind of like, wow. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I'd like to move on and get back to a little bit cheerier things, because that's what we try to do. We go to cheerier.
Oh, so now we're going to talk about flat track.
Well, a little bit about flat track.
Okay. Because there was no flat track racing this weekend.
There wasn't. But the flat track boys got invited over to participate in the Goodwood Festival Speed. So we're keeping it across the pond.
Yeah.
And I said the flat track boys. Let me rephrase that. The flat track Pipples, because Shayna Texel was invited too. So it was cool to see the flat trackers over there racing the series. You know, I watch a lot of the Festival Speed clips and stuff from it. You know, people that I've done stuff with and people that I know are over there, like Vaughn Ginton Jr. and stuff like that, and some of these other racers. And it's a cool festival. I've never been. I'd love to go. Mm-hmm. It's like kind of on like my bucket list to put things
where,
I want to go
where
see.
Where is this?
In England.
Okay.
Soggy Breton. And it looks like it's kind of very similar to the Irish Road Race series. There's like bales of hay between the spectators and the people, and you drive this course, and it's a hill climb.
Oh, okay.
Right? But it's not a very big hill climb, because I don't think they have big hills in England. I don't know.
They
have rolling hills, probably, not so much mountains,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But they do have cliffs.
They do have cliffs, but it doesn't look like anybody's gone off.
Okay.
But the whole flat track group's over there. I saw Jared Mees, Brad Baker, and it was cool for some of the guys like Brad Baker who've gone over and done like the Super Prestigio, because now they're hanging out with some of the other European guys they know, and there was a lot of cool posts and stuff. But I'm glad to see flat track again seems to be doing everything right and getting that press around the world and getting that press around the country and getting those extra hits. You know, they're involved in X Games, they're involved in this, they're building their sport, they're doing good stuff. It's surprising that the same people that ran AMA Pro Road Racing into the ground are elevating flat track.
It's not the same people though. I mean, it's the same company, but it's obviously not the same people.
It wasn't
the same company back then, because you could tell just the way they were running the flat track series was very, very different than the way they ran the AMA series. Yeah.
They gave that to the B team because they thought it wasn't going to do well.
And the B team stepped up.
They had to get in. They had to get innovative, and they always have been in trying to get the word out about it.
Yeah,
you haven't seen any of that stuff on the.
You never saw that from the
AMA, on the Superbike
AMA
or the
Pro Road Racing.
Yeah.
So while we're talking, because Jared Mees and all these guys are on Indians and they're dominating, just before we came on the air, we watched three very uneventful motorcycle, as the TV commentator said, motorcycle history was made. Travis Pastrana this past week, I recorded it, and then I just said, I'm not watching 3 hours of that. I'm just going to watch it on YouTube, a 5-minute little sample. Travis Pastrana recreated three of Evel Knievel's, father of Robbie Knievel, Ken's favorite person in the world, Evel Knievel's jumps.
Wait a minute, Phil. I'm his biggest fan.
You're his biggest.
I'm his biggest
You're
fan.
You're probably the only one. So he did it, and I can't... I like Travis Pastrana. I think he's a very talented driver. I think he's a very talented motorcycle racer. I've met him a couple times. He's a doofy, fun guy, right? Like, he's just goofy. He's like, he's a fun guy. I was so unimpressed.
It was amazingly unimpressive.
I don't think I could have
Evel
Knievel's my hero.
Okay, if you want to recreate what Evel Knievel did, you're either going to need a Bonneville or you're going to need a Harley, okay? And you're going to have to do the same jumps under the same conditions with the same bike, everything,
yeah,
right? He didn't. He went with a bike like half the weight.
Twice the horsepower, at least.
Yeah, probably, I was going to say, yeah, probably twice the horsepower.
Actual tires that were made for that kind of stuff, not like street tires out of
pop. There was probably real math in building the ramps.
You know,
okay?
Real dinosaurs.
Not somebody just actually kind of looking up and saying, yeah, it looks about right.
Dinosaurs stuffed in the tank, right? Yeah. Like, you know, leaded fuel. Right.
Probably racing fuel.
Probably
Knievel didn't know what that was.
Yeah. Right. Like, oh, hey. And you know, I don't like poo-pooing on Travis Pastrana, but I would have fell asleep trying to watch.
Don't call it recreating. Okay.
Yeah. No. Maybe a Evel Knievel tribute.
Yeah. Maybe modernizing.
Evel Knievel tribute, but that was.
He shouldn't have left himself such a big safety margin on those jumps. I mean, like,
yeah, he should have
had four more buses.
Yeah, right. He should have significantly extended. Say, I'm not going to just recreate what Evel Knievel did. I'm going to actually break it by a large margin because I have the benefit of technology on my side.
You know, like what I took away from that when I first watched it the other night on YouTube, I took away that like he just literally made Evel Knievel look like some guy that didn't actually know what he was doing. Because this guy did it so easily.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I think Evel Knievel was a hero? And then I'm like remembering, like, Evel Knievel was like a bike that weighs a half a ton.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, crappy tires.
Evel Knievel probably outweighs Travis Pastrana by
60
pounds.
By half a ton.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you never knew if the Harley was going to run out of oil as it was spraying as you jumped through the thing.
Yep.
You know, and he was like jumping a bagger, and, you know, they put lead in the frame to make sure it held.
It wasn't impressive, and I don't know if.
And I was very let down by that.
Yeah, I was let down by it too, but I think that's. The problem is the audience doesn't have that perspective that we have. The majority of the audience just thinks, oh, my God, look at this. He's going to go over all these buses. He's jumping over these fountains. He's doing all these really amazing, incredible things. They didn't see Evel Knievel. That's like an old Wild World of Sports videos that most of them haven't seen. So for the current audience, it's impressive. For those of us who remember what that's like or have seen that, go back and look at YouTube videos of the actual Evel Knievel jumps, and you'll realize that what he did was very, very impressive because
and scary.
Yeah, he had prehistoric equipment.
Yeah.
He was not a guy that was fit, okay?
No.
In fact, he spent most of the nights before his jumps drinking nonstop, blew out his liver because of it, okay?
You don't need those things. You don't need a liver to live.
That's right. Yeah, well, he
just
did.
Saying.
He got a replacement anyway, so.
So I want to see him jump the Grand Canyon. We need to lay that down as a challenge. If you're really going to do it, get a rocket bike and jump the canyon.
Yeah. A rocket bike.
You know, here's what I'm going to say, and this might be, you know, I mean, Travis Pastrana is literally a local guy. He's from Baltimore.
I know.
Right? And, mm-hmm. and I feel bad about this, but I'm going to say Robbie Madison's Red Bull gigs the last 2 years poop on your Evel Knievel recreation.
Yeah.
Poop on it. Like, big, steamy, like, five guys.
I thought it was much more impressive when Robbie Madison was riding across the ocean.
Yeah, or the ski jump,
yeah.
Right? The ski jump is sketchy. Riding across the water, it's like,
But he has Red Bull tied up, and nobody's giving Pastrana $40 million.
I bet if Robbie Madison went to Red Bull, be like, hey, so Pastrana screwed up that whole Evel Knievel thing. This guy on the doghouse, Chris, says I need like $100 million to jump the Grand Canyon. And Red Bull will be like, you know what? Jump it twice. Here's $500 million. You know,
yeah, do it right.
Do it right. You know, make sure that you have the Red Canyon, the water in the Red Canyon, red for Red Bull when you do it.
Yeah,
right.
In my opinion, if you want to recreate it, you have to actually believe going into the jump that there's at least a 50-50 chance that you're going to get broken into a bunch of pieces.
He didn't even have one ambulance on the tarmac, let alone two.
Yeah, he knew he was going to make it. So if you know,
Evel Knievel, he practiced it.
Yeah, Evel Knievel, whenever he jumped, it was like just a question of how much time he would spend in the hospital after the jump, okay? Yeah. Travis Pastrano, they didn't have to even worry about it, right? He absolutely knew with certainty, as long as he achieved a particular speed, he was going to make it by a wide margin.
Right. Right.
And he knew the exact speed because you notice he didn't have to worry about over. Evel Knievel would often come up short or overshoot the targets, right?
You know he had a red limiter.
Yeah. Well, you know, exactly. You know it was programmed. It was going to take him to an exact speed, right? And that was it. He couldn't, and they knew mathematically exactly where that bike.
All he had to do was
when it was up in the air, was keep it from rotating backwards, which he knows how to do from the X Games, right?
Right. I was going to say, he probably could have did a big whip, a big supercross whip in
probably.
It. And still made the jump fine.
Yeah.
And that to me, that kind of hurt my childhood memories that Evel Knievel busting himself
still see in my mind Evel Knievel tumbling over the handlebars. You don't get rid of that.
You don't get rid of that like a doll, right?
You'd see him going down the ramp like a doll. So I'm sorry, Travis, you did not recreate it. Because to recreate it, You had a crash. Yeah, got
a crash. No broken bones. It's not a cell.
That's right.
Listen, if Chris Knievel still listens, we're sorry. Yeah. If Robbie Knievel still listens, you know, because we're not the world's biggest.
I'm sure he made plenty of money licensing that event.
Yeah, so. and the uniform didn't look that good.
It didn't fit him right. It looked like he was wearing his older brother's shirt. It was probably Robbie Knievel's. That's why it didn't fit him.
It was way too small to be Robbie Knievel's. But it didn't fit. Like, it wasn't even like, wow, it was such a letdown.
Well, you thought he could have had more sequins on it, you know, something. Yeah, something.
He could have done something.
Like an afro sticking out the back of the helmet.
I'm sorry the little smoke bomb firework thing shooting up during the jump didn't work for me either.
No.
Evel Knievel wouldn't have done that because I would have set him on fire. He would have come down with a burning ball.
Right. The oil leaking out of the Harley. It would have like backflipped all the way up. Boom!
Yep.
You know, like half the motor would go and kill a fan.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's Evel Knievel. It got to be dangerous.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
This didn't look dangerous.
No drama. It was no drama.
I was more impressed with that idiot guy that jumped over the freeway in California. On the dirt bike, we talked about a couple months ago.
That
was a stunt. This was like,
yeah.
I see Ryan Dungy do that jump 20 times a week.
Yep.
You know, so it just was very underwhelming.
I agree.
Very underwhelming.
I agree, but, you know, he got History Channel, I'm sure, pay him a ton of money.
3 hours.
And 3 hours of airtime.
We watched each jump 5 times on YouTube in a 5-minute video, and they still had time to talk about other things.
Yeah.
Why was that? Give me a 1-hour special. I might have watched it. When I turned on my TV to see that it was a 3-hour special, I was like, I got a life.
Yeah.
I don't have that much beer.
It's not the same without Frank Gifford and Howard Cosell involved.
How about Kathy Lee Crosby?
They always did the Evel Knievel stuff, remember? It's just not the same.
This is Howard Cosell. Yeah, right. We're here with some idiot.
You have to ask stupid questions about how many broken bones have you had at the beginning of the jump?
This is Howard Cosell asking Evel Knievel, do you think you're going to live or die this time?
And the other thing, too, is you'd always have the interviews with Evel Knievel before his jumps there, and they were sort of like Walking Tall. Remember the movie Walking Tall?
Yes.
That was sort of like Evel Knievel, right? He was like the Buford Pusser of jumpers.
You know? Good pull, Ken.
Right, and he would have that. He had that whole kind of like country boy thing going for him. And I'm here because I love this country, and I'm willing to give my left shin bone for this country.
And Travis Pastrano
says, "Yeah, I'm here because ka-ching."
Right. I'm here because Indian got deep pockets.
Yeah, Indian got deep pockets.
And the History Channel needs content.
Yep.
You know, like, yeah, and you just sit there. As a kid, I remember sitting there going, like, how does crashing while jumping over bicycles help America? Right? Like, I never figured that out. But God bless him for trying.
Yep.
You know, it was like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, let's move on to the MotoGP news and talking about the races.
Yeah, my prediction on Danny Pedrosa didn't last long.
No. He actually emailed me and was like, so I know originally I was going to go to Suzuki, but once I heard Ken said that, I figured I'm punting.
Yeah.
It must be a bad decision.
You know, I said he was going to be on a Suzuki next year. I didn't say it would actually be a racing bike.
That's going to be his little scooter. That's going to be his little scooter going
Somebody
around.
Actually said something. I was reading some stuff today.
Uh-oh.
And they said that the way it was worded, his retirement, leaves him the ability to do some other racing. He didn't say, I'm retiring from racing. He said, I'm retiring from MotoGP. So does that mean he could show up in
Kawasaki?
He could
go to America.
No, I don't think World Superbike would take him because he's like way too old for that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I wonder if he could show up in a British Superbike or God forbid Moto America,
because European Championship.
Yeah, CEV or something like that. Maybe, I don't know. Or he'll go work for a team and be like a Casey Stoner on a team.
Yeah, I think you'll see him maybe do like the Suzuka 8-hour.
Perhaps, yeah.
You know, or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it wouldn't shock me to see him in...
Because you don't have a lot of opportunities, you know, to get a racer who's a consistent eighth place, you know?
That's lately. For a while, he was consistently second or third.
What you're saying is he's not as good as he was.
Okay. He's like Toby Keith. I ain't as good as I once was.
Yeah.
So, while you bring these things up, I'm glad you kind of did, because we kind of slept on a little bit of silly season news the last couple mm-hmm. weeks, because we had a lot to talk about. So there's rumors that Batista from MotoGP might be heading to World Superbike.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more than rumors, though, isn't it?
I haven't seen anything that says it's definite.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still in the rumor mill phase. I still mm-hmm. don't think there's anything signed.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumors of Bradley Smith heading to World Superbike.
Mm-hmm.
There's rumors of Tom Sykes going to Yamaha. So if Tom Sykes goes to Yamaha, Batista goes to World Superbike.
I heard a rumor that Tom Sykes is going to a new series that's being created where all you do is qualify. No racing.
Pedrosa should go to that.
That's it.
What's it going to be, Sykes and Pedrosa? I am all in on that. I would watch that.
Sykes is still a good qualifier, but he's definitely lost a lot.
I saw a rumor of Alex Lowe's, because it looks like because Melandri's talking about Yamaha. And so Alex Lowe's would be out of ride, and Alex Lowe's to Honda, which doesn't bode well for Jake Gagne.
It doesn't bode well for Jake Gagne, but it doesn't bode well for him either. That Honda's horrible.
Well, like, here's what I was thinking. Maybe Honda's thinking, no one will realize the bike is slow if it actually never finishes a lap.
Yeah, that's
or
right.
It never crashes, which he's pretty good at, so maybe it'll keep him safe.
Maybe he doesn't go fast enough to crash.
Exactly.
Maybe he's a good fit for Alex.
I don't think anybody wants to go to the Fireblade right now, so I don't see. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
it's better than being unemployed. Maybe that's a way to look at.
Yeah.
It, right?
Like I was gonna say, the paycheck usually ends all that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll see. Maybe maybe that's what Pedrosa meant when he was retiring from MotoGP. Maybe he's getting punished, and they're sending him to the Fireblade.
Yeah, really.
On Superbike. Mm. They'd be like, so here's an eighth place bike. We know you're used to it.
Yeah. Right. On a good day, it's an eighth place bike. Yeah.
Woo!
Gagne'd love to have a few few top tens. He's only had, what, one, I think?
No, I think he said two now.
I think he had one.
I think Laguna Seca, mm-hmm. and then he had one early because of a crash. I think he had a ninth. I think he's had a ninth and an eighth now.
Okay.
I thought he ran in ninth for a while and then dropped out of the top ten.
You guys are killing me. You guys are killing me.
Yeah, have your statistics at hand, Phil. Come on.
Well, you know, I didn't know we were going to talk about Jake Gagne's record.
I know, but who really cares is the important question. We just talked about him losing his ride.
Yeah. Maybe. I hope not.
If he's going to stay on the Fireblade, I think actually he would be better off career-wise to get out, you know. He's better off going back to Moto America than staying there and
being viewed as a career backmarker.
He's being viewed as the way they view all Americans now in those series is like they're not competitive, right?
Yeah.
So can't argue that. At all.
We haven't been competitive since Nicky Hayden's heyday, Ben Spies. You know, everybody else that's gone over there's been a huge bust for a lot of reasons, not just their reasons, usually because they're on crappy bikes.
Yeah, but a lot of times they're getting on crappy bikes, mm-hmm. and you know, and that's sad. And we're America, and we shouldn't be on crappy bikes.
Well, if we can't get sponsorship to pay for a decent team, it's our own fault.
Yeah,
right?
It's not like we have like the economic capital of the world, New York.
And we don't have a farm system.
We don't have a farm system. You know, on the ride into the studio, Chris was actually saying, you know, where's that next Nikki Hayden going to come from? Is it going to, is our next MotoGP champion going to come out of our flat track series, which is growing?
It's possible,
but I don't think so, because and this was my thought, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, please email Warren at ntnradio.com. Tell him yuck. Entitle the email yuck.
Yuck.
And then say, I thought that, you know, Hayden switched from flat track to road racing because there was money in sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
When we were at VIR talking to some of the younger Moto America riders, they were looking for ways to get into flat track for the sponsorship money. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually building backwards here.
Yeah, that is sort of building backwards. But I think the next competitive on the world scene American will actually come up the route that PJ Jacobson came up.
Through Britain.
Yeah, I think they'll come up through a lower series, you know, either through one of the Red Bull Rookie Cups type series type ways, and they'll come in that way. They won't come in through the U.S. Championship Series. I don't see that. I don't think they'll come out of flat track. I don't either.
I couldn't pull somebody that I thought.
Yeah.
I would say, man, they have the star power, they have the riding power and the ability to get sponsorship and go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that JD Beach hasn't been picked up by any of them, even some of the lower, like British Superbike or any of those, that tells me they're not giving any level of respect at all to the series in the U.S. So they're going to have to come up a different route. And I think PJ Jacobson's is kind of the prototypical way to get involved.
How much does that have to do with the fact that they don't bring sponsors with big bucks with them?
Well, they don't.
I mean, that's part of the problem.
And right. So why would they look at them?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's part of the problem, right?
Yep.
Part of the problem is that because the series here doesn't have sponsorships, mm-hmm. they're not going to get that look.
Yeah.
Right? Jason Uribe, I'm pretty sure his parents were his sponsor that got him over into CEV. Right?
You know? I think the other thing, too, is that, Ben Spies had Yoshimura, but Yoshimura wanted to play in the world scene, and they don't seem like they've all backed off because of the American Series has been so disappointing, right,
yeah.
in recent years. So there really isn't that sponsor out there. Why would you want to do that, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Ben Spies wouldn't, if it hadn't been for Yoshimura, would not have gotten the opportunity to ride a Yamaha over in World Superbike.
So, yeah, you're right.
So I just don't see there isn't a route there anymore. Unfortunately, it's very disappointing because they don't really have a route to get from an American.
Yeah,
I was very buoyed by Wayne Rainey's original thought that he wanted to build a series that provided a way for people to come up the way he did. And then he hasn't done that.
Right. So. And yeah, and that's going to kill us on the, you know, we could be looking at 15 years before we get an American on a competitive bike.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be dead by then.
Yeah,
I might not see that in my lifetime.
The two Americans that came out of the American Championship Series, one was Heron, who went to, and that's pre-Rainey, went to Moto 2.
And a really crappy bike.
Horribly underfunded team that was dealing drugs, make
right.
money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? And right. Which, how can you be underfunded?
Yeah, I know, really.
How the hell does that happen?
You can be bad at anything.
You might be not a good bike builder, but how are you underfunded?
Yeah, so they had a bike that wouldn't stay together, so that poor Josh Heron got killed on there. Now Gagne's on the Fireblade, but Gagne's only on the Fireblade because it was a nod to Nikki Hayden.
Yeah,
Nikki Hayden's death.
Yeah,
it's not. And I like, you know, I like Gagne.
No, I know he's one of your favorite guys.
Right, I like him a lot. But you go and say, here's your opportunity to not do well on a crappy bike.
Yeah, and PJ Jacobson pretty much
marked,
got the same
and then
thing.
Get marked, and you'll come back to the Moto America series, and you'll never get another opportunity.
Yeah.
So
I hate to admit I don't remember his name, but we had a guy in CEV that was hot till he had an accident. I don't
know, Hopkins, John Hopkins.
No.
No, not John
Young
Hopkins.
Guy. He won the championship over there, or he was second in it.
American?
Was it two
seasons Well, there have been a number of Americans
ago?
That have run in CEV.
And he did real well. He had a bad accident, so he missed the next season.
Yeah, wasn't that John Hopper? Hopkins?
No.
No, it wasn't Hopkins. Hopkins ran in British Superbike.
I know who you mean. I can't think of his name.
Yeah, so I always expected to see his name pop up, but nothing came of it, and I wondered whether that wasn't career-ending accident he had.
It could be.
Kenny Noyes.
That's it.
Yeah, Noyes. Kenny Noyes.
I always want to say John Hopkins.
Yeah, there was a lot of hope for him. He's just sort of disappeared off the radar.
Yeah, because he looked great.
He's still recovering. He's not back to riding yet.
Okay, that's it.
He might be back to riding, but I don't think he's back to, like, race.
How long has he been out?
At least two years.
That's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, I don't see.
The series moves on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't see. I don't see him being 100% for a while. That was a huge, right? Because he spent months in the hospital.
Yeah, I never saw the accident. I just watched him race and thought, wow, that kid's got something.
Yeah, yep. he does.
And, he does. Yep.
I don't know. I don't know if you can recover from something like that.
That's not tough. It's been two years. Yeah, it's 2 years. So. Okay. No, I don't know that anybody with a competitive bike is going to be willing to risk it on someone who's been out for 2 years.
Yeah, no. He's going to have to.
And then the sad thing is you've got PJ Jacobson, who's probably the most talented rider that's out there right now on a horrible, horrible bike, and he's going to get branded with this, and he's going to end up falling back into some national series and not race at the world level, and that's really sad because I don't see anybody else on the horizon that's got his talent. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're gonna hit a lull on the world scene unless something dramatic changes. Mm-hmm. I was kind of hoping America made some statements this year with, you know, JD Beach winning the Super Prestigio and then Heron with his four race performance there at World Superbike where he raced an American Superbike privateer team into the top 10. Twice, I believe. I believe he did twice. He got it into.
I know
the
at least once. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Twice.
You know. So to me, it's like, you know, maybe. Hey, we got some good races here, but I don't see it. I know there's a lot of guys in Moto America telling like Scott Redding, come over here and race Moto America, and part of me says, is that to build credibility? But if you're Scott Redding, why would you come here?
Well, and how much credibility is that going to give us? I'm sorry, you know, Scott Redding hasn't been like a top stellar.
It's like Tony Elias. Right?
Yeah.
Does that add credibility to Moto America?
Well, on the other side of it is I'm not sure what it does to you to have somebody come from, you know, Europe to come to the United States and basically kick your ass on a regular basis like he has. Yeah. Right? So
unless you figure they need to get their ass kicked to learn how to race with the Europeans.
We didn't used to have to do that.
No, we used to dominate. We were the ones giving the ass kicking.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like we talked last night, we educated them on how to take flat track to a closed course, and now they're educating us. And,
Sounds like, as Jackie Gleason would say, nothing but pure communism.
Yeah, and you're at the point now where you have to be old to remember when the U.S. did dominate at the world level.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, there's been little bits and pieces, like I said, Ben Spies.
Glimmer of hope every now and then. Nicky Hayden,
glimmer of hope, but you can go back 10 years before that, and we were winning
everything.
The majority. It was us.
We owned it.
It wasn't Spanish riders. It was British
riders.
American riders.
It was 9 years straight, an American won the championship.
Yep. Yeah. That's no mas. Yep. All right. We had MotoGP was in Sachsenring. Mm-hmm. We talked about Pedrosa's I'm going to retire. Mm-hmm. He actually had Jorge Lorenzo help him. Do a press release. He wrote it for him, you know, because they're good buddies. And it was, I quit.
I was going to say, there's nobody who knows how to quit like Jorge.
That is true. I was waiting for that.
Yep.
So, Moto 2, Brad Binder pulls off the win.
Yeah. Thank you, Pacini.
Thank you, Pacini.
Thank you, Pacini, for taking Bagnaia.
No, literally, thank you, Pacini. I had Oliveira. That was a good point.
It's good thing you didn't have Pacini.
Yeah, no, Pacini.
Oh, Oliveira was a good pick because he qualifies crappy lately, and he's been charging to the front.
Yeah, he was a big pick.
Yep.
Big pick for me. But
he almost didn't last it in through the first lap. He was almost out.
Yep.
Luca Marini is starting to show some life, starting to show some talent. I think the last couple races.
Oh, you mean also the guy also known as the half brother of Rossi?
Yeah.
The guy's never going to climb out from under that. I feel sorry for the guy.
I know. I try not. I wasn't going to bring it up, but you brought it up.
I will bring it up because they keep bringing it up on TV.
I feel so bad for him. It's like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right.
Half brother and half the racer.
Oh, half the speed. Everything's half.
But he got a podium.
So
his first ever.
Yep.
Yeah, his first ever, right? Joan Mir, I like calling him Joan, just because I know he can't beat my ass.
That's the way his name is written, Joan.
I know. If you don't want to be called Joan, don't be named Joan.
That's right. Add at least some other consonants in there or something.
That's how that works in America.
Yeah,
that's right.
In this country. Yeah. But Brad Binder pulls off the win, which actually before I watched the race, I said to Chris, I said, man, I said, I hope Binder, you know, I'd like to see Binder win. I'd like to see him do some good because he needs it. And he pulled it off. I was...
He's like the first Australian to win a Moto 2 race in South African.
While holding his left hand, arm behind his back, or
right.
Yeah, he's I don't has any South African ever won?
There's been a couple South Africans in the series.
All right. I didn't know if any have ever won. Mm. So my stats guy did not go down that road.
You're right.
Damn intern.
Our stats guy sucks.
Intern, you suck.
Yeah.
So we'll blame the intern on that one.
And Pacini, who had been the fastest all week long, I love that. He gets his first pole in a while because he's been really sucking as of late.
He has been.
He gets that. Looks great. And everybody thinks he's got that. And he can't make it through the first lap without wrecking. But this time he was nice enough to take Bagnaia out for the rest of the competitors because he only had 16 points.
Yeah.
And Bagnaia fell.
All the way to last.
He watched the when he did that. Yeah, he went all the way to last. He did a pretty good job when he went all through the sand and got into the grass again. I kind of figured, he's not going to lose that many positions. He lost everything.
But I think he only lost that many positions because how early in the race it was.
Yeah, that's
because everybody was still within 10 seconds.
Yeah, and he had to wait too. There was a crowd.
Yeah, and he was making sure that he was on pavement before he hit it again.
What did he end up with? He ended up in 13th?
12th.
12th, okay.
Scored your 4 points.
Yeah, let's take it, right?
You got to take it when you get
it. Take it, because it could have been zero.
Phil and I felt terrible, though, when Bagnaia fell to the back of the pack. It was horrible.
Because neither one of you picked him?
We picked Oliveira.
Oliveira was a good pick this weekend.
We felt really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought for sure he was going to crash out.
He
was more out of control this race than any I've seen him in.
Yep.
And then we had the MotoGP race, which Lorenzo jumps out to his lead.
That's what he always does.
That's what he always does, right? Like yada, yada, yada.
Twice.
right.
And then he fades. Right.
Well, he didn't fade. He had a soft front tire on, and he burned it up.
He burned it up.
You could tell his racing line changed as the race got past the halfway point.
He was riding his Yamaha again the way he's going through those curves.
Yeah, so.
And Marquez it looks like it's his season to throw away.
Mm-hmm.
Rossi again, a second, which I don't know going into the race. I was looking at Rossi for my pick. I was like, qualified sixth, it's some bonus points.
Picking a Yamaha is very tough right now.
Yamaha is very tough right now. Lorenzo with this little bit of a hot streak. Dovi got to win it, or at least be competitive again, you'd think.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him.
I don't know. And then Vinales has been looking better the last couple weeks. Not saying he's looking good.
Well, Vinales is doing the standard thing that he does. He's got a lot of problems with a full tank, and when he has cold tires, he is a mid-pack rider, and then as the tires come to temperature and he burns off some gas, he charges through the field, and he does good. Yeah. That's what he does. So, I don't see that change, to be honest with you. He's just not fast in the beginning of races. Rossi's much faster, and he's got a bunch of positions he has to make up.
Yeah.
Zarco, on the other hand, something's got to change with him. I'm glad he's going to be off that bike next year.
Something has happened to him that's just weird, right?
Well, I'm sure it's the bike. I'm sure it's the bike. They're probably experimenting and they're failing at it. So that's my guess. So
what was it that took him out in a lot of his good races? He ended up with tire management issues, right?
Well, they've also been taking a lot of chances on tires. He was picking soft tires when a lot of people were opting for the mediums or the hards.
Right.
So he did that all the time. I mean, there was a series of like five or six races where he was on soft rears and nobody else was but him.
Right.
So they were taking chances. So I don't think it's worked out real well for
him. No, but that's what I was thinking is maybe they've abandoned that approach, and that means to him, well, I can't hang out in the front right now.
Right.
He's kind of taking his time and sacrificed.
But in my opinion, he's going to be in a much better bike next year. So,
yeah, I mean, he should be, right? Mm-hmm. We're hoping to think that. I don't think going into the break we learned anything. Like, I don't see anybody that I think's going to make a charge in the second half to come against Marquez. No. I think so long as Marquez can keep it on two wheels, he's pretty golden.
Yep. The fact that his chief competition right now is Rossi.
He's got to be feeling good about life.
Yeah, because they haven't had the Yamahas haven't been consistent, so he's just going to slowly pull away. He's only at the mid-season mark right now, and he seems like he's got control.
And that shows you how bad the other riders have been. And I'm not saying the bikes, I'm saying the riders. Is we just say the Yamahas aren't being consistent, and they've consistently been second and third in points for the last couple months.
Oh, I think I got it figured out. I know what's happening, okay? Suddenly, Dovi fell off the radar. He was probably the most competitive in the early part of the season against Marquez. He fell off the radar, and Lorenzo got better. Just a little bit suspicious.
Do you think that's locker room cancer?
I don't know if it's that or if it's, as they were trying to, they were in the negotiations, right, for his contract during the season. If he didn't start getting more attention from Ducati than Dovizioso did, and they made changes that are negatively affecting Dovizioso and helping Lorenzo.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, it's just very dramatic, the switchover, right, between the two of them, right?
Yeah, it was like a light switch.
Yeah, it was like a huge difference.
Conspiracy theory can get strong.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah. Dovizioso, hey, before think about it. The last couple seasons, Dovizioso has been competitive all the way to the end of the season. Not this year.
He has, especially last year.
Yep.
Yeah, he's already out of it.
He's almost
80 points behind. Right? He's 77 points behind.
He's not Tom Sykes out of it, but he's pretty far behind.
But he's trying to get there. He's like, I'm on the Sykes way to hell.
Yeah.
He's there. We got some racing coming up this weekend. Just pretty much Supercross, I believe, Moto America.
Yeah. Can you explain to me why World Superbike takes a 10-week break?
Yeah, really?
How is that possibly good for their series? By the time the next time they race, kids might not be alive. I mean, kids are back in school. I mean, it's just like nobody's thinking so much about
They're old enough to have tattoos.
MotoGP goes on a break for what, 3 weeks?
I believe it's 4 this year, right? I have to look at the calendar.
Yeah. Well, this is 10. That's 2.5 times the length.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Every year we complain about it, and they never seem to shorten
it. They only started that about 4 years ago. They started going to the extended breaks in World Superbike. Because I remember the first year they did that, we ranted on it nonstop.
Oh, my God.
We was like, it's like having two separate seasons.
It is. Yeah, Maybe they do that so that... Yeah, I'm just hoping for the next 10 weeks...
They're doing it for one reason. They can't get enough sponsorship to cover the additional venues that they need in order
to don't they move the races all in so that it's one consistent
season?
Well,
they used to race from February to November. That's kind of what they're doing now.
Yeah, but they haven't changed the amount of races.
They've changed the number of stops.
Have they?
Yeah, in the last 4 years since 4 years before that.
I'm going to have to look at that.
They could compress it a little bit. I mean, they could compress the schedule a little bit and it wouldn't look so bad. 10 weeks is just ridiculous.
Right. I mean, I'd almost rather them end... I'd rather them, instead of starting in the end of January, beginning of February, I'd rather them start in like March and end in October. I'm happy.
I think they're tied. I think their problem is their contracts with the venues is what's causing their problem.
Well, I think the reason they're taking a big break this year, of course, is to figure out how to stop... Right. Yeah. I mean, they need to figure out.
If they spend the next 10 weeks with putting Honda fairings on Kawasaki's, I'm all for that.
Maybe it's just to give the other riders a break from chasing.
Yeah.
Everybody's sick and tired of looking at his butt.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.